الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity, this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us for gathering in the house of Allah ta'ala on the occasion of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a very great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala for which we thank Him. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah. And we also ask Allah ta'ala that He makes it such, we appreciate this day of Jumu'ah, and He makes it such that our final day in this earthly life is the day of Jumu'ah. Today I wish to discuss this aspect of having love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those that have true iman, those that have real iman, those that have genuine iman, what is their quality? أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They don't just love Allah, but they intensely love Allah. In other words, their love for Allah ta'ala is extremely intense. It's not just a mild love. What is meant by an extremely intense love is that every moment of the time they are looking at two things. They are looking at two things. Which two things? One thing they are looking at is how I can earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other side, what they are looking at, how can I save myself from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So every moment of their lives, this is the thought that is going, that how can I earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how I can save myself from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this light, we see in the light of Sahaba, in the lives of Sahaba, that they had this. Anything, last week we were discussing, or the previous week we discussed a Sahabi who had built a building, and he had a dome on that building that was overpowering, that was overarching the other buildings. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam just demonstrated his dissatisfaction with that. That was enough for the Sahabi to raise that whole thing to the ground. No questions asked. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unhappy with this. I don't need to ask anything else. Destroyed it immediately. And that is the shan of a person, or that is the sign that a person has love in his heart for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu. He had an orchard. And this orchard was in such a strategic location, just for our understanding purposes. In Madina Sharif, if a person is entering from the rear side of the masjid, where you got nowadays that you got the Hilton Hotel and you got Taiba Center, etc. When you go, you find the big main doors, the main entrance, men's entrance, going into the masjid, just before the stairs, going up to the masjid. That was the location of his orchard. So he had a very strategically located orchard. And that orchard wasn't a normal orchard. The water of that orchard also was very sweet. Now we know in those days, water wasn't like how we had, we just opened the tap, there's municipal supply. It was difficult to get water. Water was found in wells, it had to be pulled out, and not all the water was sweet. So this water also from that orchard was very sweet. The location was very, very nice. It was very near the masjid. It was very near Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this, he says, was the orchard that was most beloved to him. In the hadith it comes, this orchard was called Bayruha. That this is what the look, this was the name of that orchard. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also come sometime after Asr Salah, and he would come there and he would dip his feet also in the water of that orchard. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also liked that orchard. So that orchard was more beloved to him also, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also liked it. One is he liked it, but it became more beloved to him because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also liked it. Now when the verses were revealed, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that none of you will reach the higher levels of piety. Bir, higher levels of piety, until you spend from what you love. Until you spend from what you love, in other words, what is dear to you. So immediately this Sahabi saw that opportunity. As I said, those that have love, intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their eyes, their gaze on one side is looking for these opportunities where I can gain that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can increase that love that I have for Allah ta'ala and Allah ta'ala has for me. So he saw this as a strategic opportunity. Ayats are revealed. He goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't think an orchard like a small garden. It was massive. Imagine, now we can understand what that value would have fetched for that type of location, that type of place in the Haram, in the precincts of the Haram, in the precincts of the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of all the orchards that I have, this property is the most beloved to me. And you bear witness that I'm giving it to you, and you may use it as you wish. I'm giving it to you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That's what you call love. Man is willing to give what he loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to distribute it amongst his family members. And now he goes and he distributes it to his two family members that form fifth or sixth generation family, but yet he went and distributed it according to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not finding it hard that if I distribute to my family, let me go and give immediate one. Who Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told me to distribute, that also I am happy with. That this is what you call love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he was performing nafil salat in one of his orchards. And whilst performing nafil salat in one of his orchards, he heard a bird fluttering in the dense foliage. Foliage means dense leaves or the dense branches of the date palms that were there. It was very, very dense. So he felt that he could sense that there was a bird that was fluttering there. So what he did was, he just for a moment, he was distracted in his salat to look at that bird that was fluttering there. And it confused him with regard to his salat that he was reading. Now this affected him so much. As I say, these pious people, they look to see that what disturbed that connection between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately he says, if this garden is a means of coming between me and my Allah, I give this garden away in sadaqah. I don't keep it. Now we ask ourselves, how many things that come between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet we keep it. Let's just reflect and think to ourselves that how many things we find. Think of one item in our homes, many of us have. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of taking it out, that television. Ask ourselves, is this not coming between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes we're watching videos on the cell phone. Sometimes we're getting distracted, namaz is going away. Sometimes it's the World Cup soccer. Sometimes it's a football match. It's coming between us and Allah Ta'ala. How easy it is for us to stay away, but yet we don't stay away. Look at these great people. That came between me and my Allah. Immediately it's gone. And remember, when a person sacrifices for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives better than what a person gave up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sulaiman alayhi salam, on one occasion, إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ, that Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam had horses, steeds of war. And he would inspect it and he would go through it and see that these animals were right. That was also part of an ibadat. Remember, when a person is in an administrative position, for him to go through the administration properly, to check the different departments, is also part of deen. So he was checking these steeds, these horses that were used for war, for jihad. He was going through it. But he also had a love for these animals. إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي حَتَّى تَوَارَدْ بِالْحِجَابِ. He had a mamulat. A mamulat means a certain devotion that he would do, a certain practice he would do. For us, we can think perhaps it's a salah, a nafil salah that we would read. For example, tahajjud salat, ishraq salat, awabin salat. It's a practice that I have daily that I do this. So it was a daily practice that he had. He would do after asr or around that time. But what had happened was, the sun had set, but he was busy inspecting. Hatta tawarat bil hijab. He was so disappointed that this inspection of these animals came between me and that one action that I would do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, rudduha alayya. فَطَفِقَ مَسْحَمْ بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. Send all these animals back to me. These animals were a means of coming between me and my Allah. Anything that comes between me and my Allah, in tasawwuf this is known as ghayrat. Nothing should come between me. Nothing should disturb the relationship between me and my Allah. That is a very special relationship. Send these animals back. He slaughtered those animals for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may think that how can you slaughter horses? But in the sharia of Sulaiman alayhi salam, it was permissible to slaughter horses. So therefore he slaughtered it all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah ta'ala give him in return? Allah mentions in the Quran, وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرُ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرُ. That one of the things that Allah ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam in return, he sacrificed horses for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala didn't forget. Remember, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Your Allah ta'ala doesn't forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him such a mode of transport. He sacrificed land travel. Allah had given him air travel. such a air travel that Allah Ta'ala had given him. Allah Ta'ala in his ayat mentions, غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرُ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرُ, that he would get onto a deck, a platform. And on that platform, his other satis and entourage would get on with him. And Allah Ta'ala says that they would travel a month's journey in a duration, a short duration of the morning or night. In other words, duration of an hour in the morning or duration, approximately an hour in the evening, would take them a month's journey. What would normally would take a month on land, they're traveling that in a duration, a short time in a period of approximately an hour. Think of it at the speed of almost an aeroplane, they're moving. Allah Ta'ala had made the laws of nature become in conformance with Sulaiman alayhi salam. Can you imagine a person flying in an aeroplane without a seat belt, without airbags, without oxygen mask? Can anybody travel like that in an open? Allah Ta'ala made the laws of nature change. This man sacrificed, or this great Nabi of Allah, he sacrificed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah Ta'ala had given him in return. That this is what you get for sacrificing for my sake. So never ever think that we sacrifice something, some haram pleasure for the sake of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will take away from us. Allah Ta'ala will never take away. Allah Ta'ala will give us more. The December month is coming. Ask ourselves, how many of us already are planning to go to those places, those resorts, those entertainment centers where there's so much of haram taking place? There's intermingling taking place. There's alcohol being served. There's music that is played at those places. So much of haram is taking place, especially at the resort areas, etc. Ask ourselves, are we willing to sacrifice this for the sake of Allah? This is going to come between us and our Allah Ta'ala. In fact, the pious people, they won't even want to sacrifice one salat in the masjid for anything else. Take us for holiday, they tell us, what will happen to my salah? Will I miss my salah in the masjid? Such an important connection I have between me and my Allah. So this, I'm not saying that a person shouldn't take a small break, but he should be intelligent in what he does. Be careful in the time that he goes. Be careful to the place that he goes. Be very, very careful. Not everything. Remember something, there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith will help us in our world also, in our dunya, and in our akhirat. We should keep this hadith in mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan wal-anatu min Allah. When you rush to do anything, remember this is from shaitan. A person sometimes rushes to purchase a property. He rushes to purchase a car. He rushes to book a holiday. He sees one special one advert and he rushes to buy something. Later on, he realizes that was a big mistake. Sometimes even a person rushes to give talaq. Talaq is given and now too late. The bullets are fired. Now he runs to an alim. What can I do? So this rushing in doing things is from shaitan. Wal anatu min Allah. Deliberation, thinking, applying your mind. Is this the right thing for me to do? That is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important concept to keep in mind, that when it comes to worldly things, be very careful that we don't make the wrong decisions. So let us be careful in terms of our holidays, in terms of the gadgetries that we bring into our home. Yes, specials will come, specials will go. There may be a 50-inch television that is on special. Ask ourselves, is that the right thing for me to do? To bring this shaitan box into my house and damage that connection between me and my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, as the Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri sahab, mentions this incident, or these two incidents that I want to mention about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, in his Sharah of Riyadus Salihin, Hadith ke Islahi Mazameen. So he mentioned that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, on one occasion, he came to know that there were some goats that were stolen in Kufa. And they were stolen and they were brought to Kufa. In other words, like how we have looting, they were looted and these goats were brought. Now in Kufa at that time, it was a buzzing place. Buzzing, in other words, there were hundreds and thousands of goats being sold in the markets, etc. Here was just a few goats that were stolen, but that knowledge came to him, that information. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those that have true iman, they have intense love for Allah Ta'ala. So now he was worried, if I purchase a goat from the market, it's possible I could have purchased that stolen goat, that stolen goods, that stolen goat I could have purchased. It's possible. This is not the fatwa, but this is the way of the iman that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi had. I don't want that stolen goods to come between me and my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he did was he found out from the farmers that what is the average age of a goat. So they told him the average age or lifespan that a goat will normally live to is 7 years and not beyond that. For 7 years he didn't eat goat meat. I don't want to eat from that stolen goods. For 7 years he didn't eat goat meat. Why? That mustn't come between me and my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion he was there by the river, near the river bank, and there was a 4G. 4G is a government official. Government officials taking bribes, remember, is not something new in our country. In our country, obviously, it's at another level. But it's something that being done for a long period of time. So those government officials also, they would take bribes. There was a lot of corruption. They were involved in quite a bit of corruption. So he knew that. So he saw this government official eating a piece of meat. And the government official took that meat and threw it into the river. Now Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, we may think that this is going beyond the borders, or going beyond intelligence, but this is when a man has got taqwa. He was so worried, he said, this fish from here that we normally would buy from this particular river, I'm worried this fish would eat this meat also that was thrown by this person that is involved in bribery and corruption. I don't want to get even a percentage of that bribery and corruption. I don't want to even eat that fish from this particular river. So what he did, he found out the lifespan of the fish also and didn't eat that fish. We may say that these people are bewakuf. Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri, rahmatullah, damat barakatuh, he says, we may think that these people are mad. They are not mad, they are madly in love with Allah Ta'ala. That they don't want anything must come between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll terminate on this. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, in his Kitabul Buyu, in his kitab or in his chapter that he brought in Bukhari Sharif on trade and commerce, he's brought one explanation on what is doubtful things. And an easy way for us to pave the way for us. How do we go about? There are many things in the market that are doubtful. There are many things as far as our business is going is doubtful. Sometimes a person will say this is permissible, another will say that is impermissible. Someone will say this is grey stock, someone will say that is not grey stock. Someone will say get involved in the banks, another person will say be careful of riba, don't go close to the banks. So you'll get many, many things. So he brought one saying, very nice saying, of Hassan ibn Abi Sinan rahmatullah alayhi, who was a tabi'. He was from Basra. So he brings, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا أَهْوَنَ مِنَ الْوَرْعِ دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. I haven't found anything easier to piety. I haven't found any road easier to piety than this road. What road? Leave out those things that give you doubt and go for those things that there is no doubt in. Go for those things that there is no doubt in. Will you have any problem? A man is coming, he's returning from Umrah, he's returning from Hajj, and he's got so much of goods with him, he's worried about custom. The whole way his mind is troubled. Why? I'm overweight. I got so much of jewelry. I got so much of this. What if custom stop me? So this is creating doubt in his mind. So this, the moment he comes there, he's so worried. But he got a man who says, I don't want to take any doubt with me. I'm not going to carry all this excess. Why do I need it? If I need it, I'll buy it in South Africa. I don't need all this pressure. So that ma yuri book, he leaves out those things that causes doubt. For what? For that doesn't create any doubt. Which two of passengers that are coming from there will be much easier mentally, will be much easier psychologically? Which two? Common sense would tell us that one who left out doubt. So in our deen also, in our practice, in our daily occurrences, a very, very easy recipe to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave out anything that is doubtful for what is not doubtful. May Allah ta'ala give us that intense love of Allah ta'ala and allow us to follow in the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.